Today, some important thoughts on the family of God. Pastor Ray Bentley says the Lord never meant for us to face this life alone, to tough it out solo.
Life is meant to be enjoyed and shared, both its challenges, trials, struggles, joys, exhilarating times, together with others. That's what makes life rewarding and beautiful and rich. God made it that way.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When the Bible tells us that we're part of the family of God, that we're all members of the body of Christ, that isn't warm, fuzzy, feel-good hyperbole. We're not being fed a line, we're being handed a lifeline. Today, Pastor Ray shows us how to get the most out of being a member of God's family.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Okay, the title of the message is Treat One Another Like Family. That's basically the whole message summed up in one little phrase, treat one another like family. I would say to you, the way the world is going and the way things are moving, the direction that they are flowing, we're going to need to depend upon one another, lean upon one another, trust one another, pray for one another, more than we ever have before. And that's going to require that we become a family who grow together, encourage one another, and can be discipled. This chapter is a very practical chapter, and we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to go through the whole fifth chapter. This is challenging. You know, these are things that just need to be talked about. It's kind of a family gathering. If you're here visiting with us, we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but in the midst of that, we're going to be talking about widows, the role of widows within the early church and the modern church, and also the role of elders and pastors and how they ought to be treated, and the relationships that should be within the family of God in that way. Now, immediately, some of you go, well, look, I'm not a widow, and I'm not an elder or pastor, so what does this have to do with me? I would encourage you to listen, because there are things that will apply to you, and I hope that I can present in such a way that you will get something, learn something, glean something that will be very applicable to all of us. So in the beginning, let's start with verse 1, chapter 5. Paul tells this young guy, Timothy, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. So Paul is teaching this young disciple, protege, what it means to be a pastor and how to approach people. And now, within the body of Christ, we're all being discipled, and that means we're all wanting to become, we're to be growing in Christ-likeness. Yes, we have events where maybe some unsaved come and we cast our nets and people get saved, but that's not all what the church is for, and that's not all the ministry. There are many people who hear the gospel, get saved, and they go, well, then what do I need really to go to church? I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die. Let me live my life, and then in the end, I will go to heaven. But the reason that church is important is for a number of reasons. One, I don't know if you've noticed, but life as a human being right now, currently as the world is tough. How many would agree that life is tough? Tougher than you ever dreamed or realized, and trust me, there are more curveballs on the way. Things you had never anticipated, never dreamed of, and it's like, are you kidding me? This is going to be now part of my life? I had no idea. What do you do? Let me tell you also this. God did not design you as a human being to tough it out and make it on your own. No human being, no matter how talented, gifted, whatever strength and their inner core they might have, no one was designed to do it alone. God did not create 6 billion little islands. He created a family. where there are fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. Now, we have our immediately physical families that we came from. Then we get saved. And some of you did not have Christian parents. In fact, just out of curiosity, how many of you were not raised in a Christian home where you really grew up in and all that? Now, let me see how many of you. Okay, quite a few of you. So you get saved. Now you're coming to church. You're trying to figure it all out because nobody helped you. And then if you have a family or eventually children, you are trying to pass on to them. It's not easy. And we need one another. Life is meant to be enjoyed and shared, both its challenges, trials, struggles, joys, exhilarating times, together with others. That's what makes life rewarding and beautiful and rich. God made it that way. Now, within that family, and as it becomes hopefully more and more important to you, Paul says to Timothy, now, there were some older gentlemen in the church who really did not respect Timothy, partly because he was younger than they were. And so when you are in the church and you're in a role of being a pastor, you're discipling other people, true love, listen to this. In being discipled, we have got to come to the place where I do not have such a sensitive, thin skin that nobody can tell me something that is maybe not right or right in my life. The Bible says over and over again in Proverbs to be humble and to be teachable and listen. Listen. God speaks to us through people. And he speaks to us through those who are immediately close to us. And he definitely speaks to us through the church and through his word and through pastors, as Paul was and Timothy was as well. But it's also very important. So we have to be teachable. We have to listen. You have to, if you really want to grow, then you have to be, you know, open to somebody pointing out weaknesses, blind spots, flaws, and not get offended. Oh, how dare you? But say, oh, really? Well, okay, explain it to me. I don't understand it. What am I doing? Because I don't want to do that anymore. I want to grow, and I want to learn, and I want to listen. That's a healthy thing. But Paul also tells Timothy, when you go rebuke, don't rebuke an older man, but treat him as a father. That doesn't mean you can't point out that there's something not right in an older man's walk with the Lord. What he's saying is that generally, people that are, you know, older do not like having younger people come tell them off. Generally, that's not a fun thing, right? And so you've got to be careful. He says, how you approach it is very important. As a friend of mine says, in the right key, you can say anything. In the wrong key, you can't say anything. There is a right and a wrong way to bring to another person's attention that you love and care about some weakness, flaw, or failure in their life. And there are many people that do this, and there are a lot of Christians who do this. They're very good. They're very good being, you know, critical of other people. And you know, Jesus said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." I would like to tell a large portion of my family and the larger body of Christ, it is not the will of God that every morning you wake up and you are the critic for everybody else. The church doesn't need critics. That doesn't mean there's not critical thinking or discernment or sharing of things, but how you do it is so extremely, it's as important how you correct someone as what you say to them or what you see in them. In fact, I would say that if you approach someone with the wrong heart, wrong attitude, in the wrong way, you have totally undone whatever good you might have been able to accomplish. And the world doesn't like that either. Well, especially within the family of God. He says, when you approach an older man, treat him like your father. Now, I want to read into you what Paul meant when he told Timothy, they were conservative Jews. They were raised in both of them Jewish environment and culture, and embedded into the DNA of the word of God to the Jewish people was, and into the law of God was, honor your father and your mother. I cannot tell you, and if you're a younger person today, I cannot tell you how our culture is out of whack a little bit in its attitude, treatment, sometimes, of those who are older. And that's not to say that our parents don't have weaknesses and flaws. They do. I'm talking about there is a biblical, God-designed desire that God wants children to honor their parents, the position that they have. Number one, they brought you into this world, and they have provided for you, and here you are. They may not be perfect. They may not even be saved, but there is an honor and respect that is to be given by virtue of the fact that of their position of being mother and father. In the law, God said, the first law with a promise was honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you, that you might have a blessed and a long life. God blesses. You touch the heart of God when you honor your father and mother. And again, whether they were good parents, bad parents, saved, not saved, whatever, it's a biblical principle that touches the heart of God. Because within that, if you can learn to honor and respect them here on earth, your that family unit is a model where you are practicing and learning how to honor and reverence and respect your father in heaven, who you're going to spend all of eternity with. He's got great plans for you, great creative adventures for you to go on. This is only nothing. This is the beginning. The endless ages of eternity, of new things for our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to feel and experiences God has planned for us. But we need to honor our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus prayed and he was teaching us, honor the Father. So when you come to a father, and you do, maybe Timothy, as a pastor, have to correct someone, you don't come up to him just so, hey, you know, dude, you're doing this wrong, and you lay into them. But you come up like it were your own father, Timothy, and you with respect. Dad, you know how much I love you. Dad, you know how much I admire you, and all the hard work that you've done, and the sacrifices that you've made, and you know, these are the things that I've learned from you, and these are the things that you have taught me, and you've been such a blessing to my life. But there's something that I've been, that's bothering me, that I wanted to be able to talk to you about, because it's kind of been a hindrance in our relationship. Is it okay? Well, if you're a father, you know, half alive worth his salt, and you have a son or a daughter who honors you, who respects you, who has learned from you, who listens to you, and now there's something wrong between us. Tell me, what is it so we can deal with it and get rid of it and remove it? You see, with that attitude, that's what Paul was telling Timothy. When you go to an older woman, treat her as your mother. Honor her, respect her. If it's a brother or a younger guy, treat him like your brother in Christ. And if it's a sister, treat her as she is your sister and in purity. Because the ancient Roman world, unfortunately, things have not changed much. And the way that they treat younger women is not healthy. It is not good. In a variety of ways, they are taken advantage of, mistreated. So Timothy, when you approach a younger woman within the body, treat her like your sister. Protective, loving, tender-hearted, in a way that she will feel safe and protected. So I think it's very good and very healthy and very important that we treat one another this way. This was God's desire, and that's what Paul wanted to share with Timothy. Now, beginning of verse 3, he gets a little more specific. He says, honor widows who are really widows. He's going to talk about some other single ladies who are making an adventurous life all their own, but there is and was within the early church an honorable, sacred position of widows that contributed to the body of Christ. He talks about that more in a moment. But in verse 4, he says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. The first responsibility for the widows, in other words, is to invest themselves in their own children's lives, to invest themselves in their grandchildren's lives, and make that their ministry, to love them, to raise them with the wisdom and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's extremely important to do. And before you would say, okay, now I want to be a widow that just goes and serves at the church all the time. The ministry here is not, this is a place that prepares people for ministry. Ministry is not just coming to church and doing things, But ministry is serving people. And the first ministry is in the home. And the first test, say you believe in God, you say I'm a Christian, the first real test of whether that's genuine and true is not in here on Sunday mornings, but it's at home, the way you treat those who you live with and are close to and see on a daily basis. So now, going on in verse 5, he says, now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. So Paul is making a contrast. He says, now a real widow within the church, let's say that she has honored the Lord, she was faithful to her husband, and now since he has passed on, she has loved her children and her grandchildren, and now she is left alone, she trusts in God, and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. That's real. Then there are other women who are alone, but who fill the emptiness and the void in their lives with the pleasure and the things of this world. So Paul's making a discernment. He's making a contrast between the two. I started thinking about all the widows, single women that are talked about in the Bible. And there are quite a few of them. And I know that there are many that are here that are part of this church. And I guess I could even expand a little bit beyond not just widows, but some of you that are single by divorce, single by abuse, single by abandonment, you are now, and this really is your family. And I think of Jesus' own mother, who was a widow. Have you thought about that? Joseph was there for Jesus in the beginning until he's about 12, and then he disappears from the scene. And so it's obvious that Joseph died, and that Mary spent a long time of her life as a widow. I think that it's very telling, tells us a lot about the king and the kingdom of heaven, that at the cross, where Jesus is being nailed and crucified, that from the cross, he looks down and almost all the disciples have fled, but there stands John, the beloved disciple. And at John's side, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, and at his side is Mary, Jesus' mother. And while Jesus is being crucified, he looks down and he says, son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. John, that is your mom. I'm not going to be here in the flesh anymore. That's your mom, John. And mom, John is your son. In the flesh, when you need a hug, an embrace, someone to cry with, lay your head on his shoulder. That is your son. And so Jesus modeled at an amazing moment, the moment of the salvation of everything and everyone. He modeled what is important to the heart of the Father in heaven, family, love, treating one another, and caring for one another in this way. I think of Jesus one day, went to the temple with his disciples. He's standing at the temple watching people bring their gifts and so forth. And he just watches. And as with Jesus doing a lot of unorthodox teachings and things like that, He watches as the people come to worship. Some go into the temple. Some are bringing sacrifices. Some are coming to pray. And some are dropping in their tithes and their offerings. Jesus stands and he watches. And he waits and he watches. And some made quite a show out of the wealthy people would get all dressed up and they had a little entourage. And then they would come up and they would have apparently some little trumpet players get everybody's attention. Da 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 da. And then they would drop a large offering into the box and everybody, ooh, ah. And Jesus said, you know what? They have their reward. Their reward was right there when everybody went, ooh, ah. And that's all they get. And there's not going to be any reward in heaven because they didn't do it for God or for the love of his work, but they did it for the applause of men. So that's what they wanted. That's what they got. People went, ooh, ah, it's over and done. But then he noticed this little old single woman. Probably nobody else was watching, nobody noticing. The disciples looking at all the other fascinating, interesting characters walking around. This little old woman walks up and she drops in something so tiny. Basically, you would have to take a penny and cut it into smaller pieces to get to what she gave. Jesus stops. He goes, all right, class, did you see that little old woman? That woman right there, look at her. She gave more than everyone who is here today. And there was God in the flesh, watching, observing, noticing. Now, what she gave was the smallest financial amount. But Jesus made the observation. He said, all these others gave out of their abundance. Oh, yes, they can write a large check or they can give a lot of money, but it's out of a superabundance. But that woman, what she just dropped into the box is everything she has. Everything. Now, there's never been a time in my life where I took everything I own, as it were, and dropped it into the box. It meant that this poor woman who was a widow, the widow's mite that she drops in, was saying, God, I've learned to live with so little. And I have learned that you are a good father and that you can be trusted. And I know that you will take care of me. You will not let me go hungry. I will have a meal somehow, some way, tonight, tomorrow morning. You will provide for me the rest of this week and month. But I love you so much, and I believe so much, and I'm so anxious for the coming of your kingdom. I want to see it personally promoted by what I give to you now. And God in heaven stopped on earth in a physical body and said, watch this. God noticed a widow, the widow of Nain, the widow of Zarephath. There are all these stories of these amazing women. And then there's another lady who she was when she was young, and she was married, and she was married 7 years, and then her husband dies, and then she said, that's it, that was the love of my life, and so I'm married to the Lord, he is my bridegroom, and I will serve him day and night in the temple and pray for the nations and the tribes and the revival and the hearts and for the children of our future. I will pray them into the kingdom. And she does that for decade after decade after decade after decade after decade till she's in her 80s. This little widow walking around praying all day and night in the temple. And God in heaven says, when Jesus is born and brought by his parents, Joseph and Mary, right after he's been born, he's brought into the temple. God in heaven said, bring my son into the arms of that widow. I want that widow to hold my baby boy, my son, in her arms. I want her to pray for him. I want her to touch him. I want her to love him. Because it's by her prayers, her love, and her devotion. That's why, for people just like her, I sent my son from heaven into this world.
Some good encouragement today about honoring widows. Pastor Ray Bentley with his study called Treat One Another Like Family here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and mention that title, Treat One Another Like Family. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Timothy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.